All right, the Lord is good. Let's say like we are alive and well. The Lord is good.
All the time.
Mm-hmm. Welcome again to the School of Prayer. Kingdom Hall School of Prayer. Today is Tuesday, the 5th of May. And as is our usual practice here, we'll take our declaration of understanding because we are going to take instructions as we continue to pray. All right, let's go. Now I declare.
The
Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It's giving me light and direction. It's healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. All right. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let's open our Bibles today. We'll start from the book of Proverbs chapter 4. From verse 20. I personally believe that these are the words of David, even though spoken by Solomon and recorded by his scribes. He said, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. I just feel like adding verse 23 to it. Or let's just read out with to the end, okay? Our emphasis is on verse 22, but let's read to the end. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right, nor to the left. Turn your foot, it says, from evil. Now, let me read that verse 20 to 22. It said, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't forget that. He now said, they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. We have been looking at, what's the title? Thank you very much. Faith for health and for vitality in old age. Because there are two different things. There's health, which applies to everybody. And we talked about vitality in old age for people who might be approaching, going beyond the middle age years. So it's not targeted at old people, but at everybody. But we want to lay a special sub-emphasis, let me use the word, on vitality even when you are old. I will say this until your spirit catches it. Old age is not a disease. What did I say?
Old age is not a disease.
Well, I'd like to hear it louder.
Old age is not a disease.
Now, let's finish it the way I say it. Old age is not a disease. Say that. It's only permitted to make me wise. It's not permitted to make me weak.
It's not permitted to make me sick.
Let me say it again. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal body.
Amen.
Now, that is not to say your body is immortal. It's not. If it was immortal, it wouldn't need anybody to give it life. Do you get it? If he was immortal, he wouldn't need anything to give it life. It's already immortal. But the fact that it is mortal is what... Let's just read that. In fact, it's very important. No, okay. Remind me that I want to read it, okay? Yeah, let me just leave it because what we are going to do today is look at those scriptures. And I'll just leave you to look at them and continue to look at them. I need to say something again, which we have said before. This is not a prayer meeting. What do we do here? We learn a habit of how to pray. So whatever we discuss, please make it a habit. Not wait till next Tuesday to come and do what we are saying. Whatever we discuss, do it tomorrow. Do it when you get home. Do it habitually. Do it when you wake up, when you lie down. We are training ourselves in habits of praying. It's very important. You see, you don't wait till you have troubles to pray. You can have, you know, in medicine, we have what we call preventive medicine. Things you do so you don't fall sick. How you eat so you don't fall sick. How you sleep so you don't fall sick. How you exercise so you don't fall sick. Most we see in Okwara Square running up and down, they are not sick. They are just trying to ensure they don't fall sick. In spiritual things, all right, it's important we learn that also. By his stripes we have been healed. Most of the times, people say, Christians, they are sick. Did you catch that?
Yes.
They are already ill, so they are trying to recover. It's good. I mean, it's necessary at such times. You had better do it. I mean, if you don't do it, then you are waiting to die. But when you are not sick also, that's the point I'm making. It's part of your preventive medicine, spiritually. It is. You still have to remind yourself, all right, occasionally, especially when you hear, one of the things that you should learn in life is how to respond to news. You heard that somebody fell sick and died. Most people say, what is going on in this country? See, can I tell you something? People falling sick and dying is not new. It's not an APC government thing. Somebody, one of my classmates chatted today, said, hey, if you fill your car 11 times, you will have spent ₦1 million. What's going on in this APC government? I said, excuse me, have you ever heard of Strait of Hormuz? Somebody said, why are you filling your big tank 11 times anyway? I said, maybe it's running a transport company. People just like to complain. Where I'm going is that, see, people falling sick and dying is not new. So when you see it happen, don't say, what's going on in this country, on this life? Come on, people have been, every day, people fall sick and die. So how will you respond to what we're talking about? Please, learn this as a Christian. There is an appropriate response, instructed, that means given to us as an instruction from the Word of God. Everything has an appropriate response. Everything, every challenge, every situation has an appropriate response. People fall sick and die. Psalm 91 has something very beautiful to say about it. All right? 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It will not come near you. Do you get the point? That's it. Please, what I've been trying to do the last few days on this matter is to retrain our eyes so that habitually we look at the source of life. We keep our eyes focused on God, the source of life. Please don't let the world give you the impression life is in Okwara Square. You know what I call Okwara Square? For those who are following us from Timbuktu, Okwara Square is a big square in Enugu here where we live, where many people go out in the morning to exercise. Have you noticed that market has formed in the place? Yeah, because of people that come for their physical exercise in the morning. Now, people have lined the place up. They are even selling clothes. Very soon, they'll start selling mobile phones. First day I saw this, I thought maybe it was a political rally. He said, no, it's not a political rally. All those cars were brought there by people who came to exercise. Okay? So for those who are joining us from Timbuktu, just let them know what we mean by Okwara Square. Health is not in Okwara Square. That is not to say Christians should not exercise. Okay, exercise is good. It's better than laziness. If you don't exercise, don't watch TV. Now that's not scripture. It's just personal advice. What I'm trying to say is that don't say, hey, Pastor, can I take a small aside? People like to misquote me. Please, remind me what I was saying is that I'm trying to redirect people so that they won't keep their eyes where life is not coming from. Good. People have this habit of misquoting me. And you know what I found out? Usually bad people. When I say bad people, now they are not going to hellfire. They are not believers. But then they don't want to do the opposite. Maybe something I'm saying. For example, now when I say that health is not in Okwara Square, then they will not say, I didn't say this, but they will not say it. Health is in Mama Put. No, they call Mama Put. Where people eat and overeat. When you say you are eating too much, you say, Pastor Frank, you say health is not normal. I didn't say health is not in Mama Put. I did not teach indulgence. I just said, remember, it is God that gives life. It is not your exercise that gives life. It's God. So I'm not saying because your exercise is not where life is coming from, you should not become very lazy. You finish eating one fat, you know, plate of pounded yam, then take a full bowl of ice cream at night, then cross your leg and be changing channels. When they say, why are you lying down so lazy? They say, Pastor Frankie said, stop quoting me. That's the one I don't like. People have quoted for their wives that Pastor Frankie said, a man is not supposed to be nice. I said that. Brethren, I didn't say that. I just said, niceness is less important than the fear of God. That don't marry a man or a woman too, because the fellow is nice. That first of all is what? The fear of God. The person must love the word of God. That's what I said though. And I said after that, all other things are what? Added. Although sometimes people misquote what somebody else said, you know, by the time they quote you and somebody quotes what the person said, the spirit was even lost before they got. Please don't misquote me. The one that I hate most, which I hate most, is you that say, Pastor Bank is a first fruit is not compulsory, tithing is not compulsory. Now, that one at least, I said it. Did I not say it?
Said it.
The rest of you are afraid whether I said it or not. Did I say it?
Yes.
All of you must answer today. Did I say so?
Yes.
Good. But usually, such arguments are usually used by stingy people. Generous people really don't care. And usually if they are generous, the argument hardly comes up. Look, if you are going to a church and pastor doesn't see you are not a regular tither, but every problem you are the one solving it, does he care? Look, I know all these pastors, they don't care. Look, it concerns them. All this argument of tithes, they know for stingy people. Those guys, nothing is dropping. So they will, if you don't die, your life will die. But when they look at, they say, Deacon, give me a name. Say, okay, Deacon Dolapo. I just look for a name. Say, no, it's not about you. Don't worry. That you, I told the Lord, he has exempted you. Because he knows this man. He knows the man that before anything goes wrong, the man has already appeared. He's always eager to help the worker. So when he finished preaching, he said, Deacon, today's message does not apply to you. For you, tithing is not compulsory. We'll get back to our message. Remember I said, she tell you where we were? Know that I found out. If more Christians give generously, some of these doctrines will disappear. Yeah, they will disappear. Yes, I know that sometimes we pastors, the money can never be enough. But then we are the minority, those of us who the money will never be enough. For most, the money is okay. Once everything is well sorted out, I mean, the pastor is in the church, is paying him a salary, everything is well maintained, and everybody's being responsible. That matter will hardly come up. So I tell people, before you quote me, check your life. No, in fact, before you quote me, go and print your bank statement for the last 6 months and check how your money went. If you are building two houses at the same time, so that you cannot be generous towards anybody, if you quote me, let me not tell you what the Lord will do to the foundation of those houses. You can build, just don't mention my name. If you mention my name, well, you are the one that said it will crack. It's not me, but I seem to like what you said. Don't mention my name. That's the point I'm making. I wasn't talking to you. My message is not to wicked people. My message is to good Christians who are generous and what? Ready to share. Such persons, don't worry. You are what I call a New Testament tither. There are those who are New Testament stingy people. There are those who are New Testament wicked people. I'm not talking to them. If you are a continuous giver, a liberal mind, you're already what? A New Testament tither. Your whole life is first fruit. Do you get my point? Your whole life is first fruit. In fact, it's second fruit. It's third fruit. More appropriately, it's a whole fruit. You know, there's first fruit, there's last fruit. Your whole life is spanning everything. So you are the one I'm talking to. Is that okay? Please, I refuse to be quoted by wicked people. All right, they spoil my PR. Jokes apart, pastors have fought me in their church because of wicked people are using me to shield themselves. After all, Pastor Banky said, please don't quote me again. I forbid you. I'm talking to you. You know yourself. Like we were preaching the other day on radio, Pastor Banky Intent and our podcast. So the Bible says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. I said, stop quoting it if Paul was not talking to you. He wrote it to some people who had ignited their love for him, who had been there for a long time, supporting the work of God. They are the ones he wrote to. But there are those who have, they don't qualify for that in any way. He said, the Bible says, the Bible wasn't talking to you. Mind your business. That portion of the scripture was not talking to those who are, what's the word? I don't want to use the word hard-hearted, but the Bible said that, okay, who have shut up, or their bowel of compassion is constantly closed. It wasn't talking to them. Does it apply? I don't know. Well, at least I know Paul was not talking to them. The Lord is good. Now, I said you should remind me, where? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Praise the Lord. All right. Okay, yeah. So what I've been trying to do is to let us know where life is. Life is in the Word of God. Life is in Christ. Now, I went to do that, trying to say that, please, I'm not saying that if you need to exercise, you shouldn't. I believe it's good that you are light on your feet and you don't climb a flight of stairs and stop halfway and take 5 minutes to pant. I don't think it's good. If you find that is happening to you, go out a bit more. Is that okay? I noticed something. If I sit down for a long time, I don't get hungry. Yeah, maybe I say I'm working at home. I get up in the morning and I bring up my computer. I can stay there till 4 o'clock. I'm not hungry. But if I dare go out to go and maybe do something as simple as just cleaning my car or something, within 10 minutes, the way the hunger will report, that tells me something. The body, that's when things start moving. Do you get my point? Yeah, that tells me that's when the body is now consuming and hair. So, and I think it's a good thing for us to be active people, all right? I think you should go and keep the remote of your television near the television and sit five. So every time you want to use the remote, you have to get up and come and get it, all right? I don't believe it is Christian to be a couch potato and be flipping channels up and down, and for hours you're sitting down there. I don't think it is good. I personally don't believe. Now, this is what I want to say is personal. Is that okay? It's very personal. I don't believe in televisions in bedrooms. Now, this is personal. That's, what did I say? Because I know many of you have TVs in your bedrooms. I don't believe in it. My reason is because if it's there, you're likely to watch it. And you will not sleep. And you'll be changing channels. And you'll not catch one program. You'll not sit up to watch it. And that's how your life will just be wasting precious hours. Now, is that the gospel? No. It is what? My observation. I have never had a TV in my bedroom. And it's deliberate. My wife and I discussed it when we first got married. I said, keep the television outside. And I had a number of them. I said, no. None is coming to this room. If I want to watch it, let me get up and go out. So I don't believe Christians should be what they call couch potatoes. Okay? However, having said this, life does not come from jogging. I hope we are clear, right? Yes, having said this, what did I say? Life does not come from jogging. There are people who have died, you know, and that day they went to jog was the day they died. They were not hit by a truck. They were not killed by an accident. The jogging kills them. It's happened before. Now, I'm not saying it will happen to you. I'm just trying to say that there's no promise of life in exercise. There's no promise of life in dieting. Now again, let me say it again. I'm not saying for that reason be indulgent. Did I say so? I'm just saying don't have confidence in your good diet. Some of the people that have lived longest in this world, when they tell you their diet, is embarrassing to medical science. It's embarrassing that they won't publish it because they lead everybody astray. One woman was 117 years old in Italy. And this woman said she hated vegetables. She loved red meat and pasta. The two things that they said if we eat, we would die at 45. The woman was 117 years old. And her favorite food, red meat and pasta. Vegetables, she doesn't like vegetables. Warren Buffett is, how old is he now? Those who are his friend? How old is he? Anyway, he's 90-something. He's very fit. He's over 90. He's just retiring this year. Retired this year. He's still very fit and okay. Huh? He's 95. Yes, the man is 95. He drinks Coke a lot. Even though it's Diet Coke, he drinks. But he drinks Coke a lot. I know his favorite food, burger and Coke. Junk food is what that old man eats. He can dine on the finest cuisine. He's a billionaire, one of the richest men on earth. And if you check how long he's been rich and calculate the position he has been on, I dare to say he's been richer than most of the people on this earth that have ever lived. I mean, this guy has been a billionaire for decades. And generally had been in the top 10. The other number one, number two, number three for years. So buying food is not his problem. He can buy anything. Yet the man eats junk food. And they know. You go and buy a guy's junk food. And he will eat it. Everybody looking at it. And he's 95 healthy years. No brain problems. Doesn't have dementia. He's still controlling massive investment in billions of dollars. Did I say you should go and start eating junk food? Is that what I said? I just used that one to illustrate the fact that that's not where life is. Life is in Christ. What did I say? See, health is a gift of God. For us believers, we have to tap into the life that Christ gives, the power released unto us for our sake, called the power of his resurrection. That power now flows around the earth because Jesus rose again from the dead. The testimony of the scriptures that when he rose, the current was so heavy, people who were dead came out of their graves. And today it's still touching people. And that power is still flowing around. I hope you're getting my point. Yeah, what we need to do is just learn how to stay connected. And that's what I'm teaching. That we have to learn how to what? Stay connected with the power. That is where it is. Now, when you have tapped into that power, if you want to diet, it's good. Most of the diet people do, they don't work anyway. But at least, it's a way to exercise yourself in feeling you are doing something responsible. Just sit down there and be calculate. No, that one is good. That one is very evil. All right? So sit down. And they give you food. You bring a calculator. 300 calories multiplied by 2 divided by 1 plus 150. You total it. If you do like that, you are working for Satan. What did I say? Yeah, you are cooperating with Satan in your life. God will not collect any thanksgiving at all, either before or after. I saw one video once. One lady said, do you know how many calories are in this? You have in this bowl of fried plantain? One nicely fried plantain, you know, like one bowl. One plate with all the garnishes. Now calculated for us, 1,000 and something calories. Nothing like this. You see? One girl said, who asked you? Said, we did not know it. Thank you very much. So what do you want us to fry? Stone? She said, if you can't fry plantain, confess. He says, as if you made up your mind this morning to remove joy from Africans and Hispanics. He said, you just woke up in the morning. He said, this morning, what will I do to make them sad? He said, yes, yes. That's why you can say such evil things out of your mouth. She ended the video by saying, nobody will take my joy. And I said, amen.
How can somebody tell you not to eat a plate of fried plantain? As out now, thank you. It's not right. These are ungodly principles. You do like an egg, you collect the bowl of fried plantain. Father God, I receive all the calories inside in Jesus' name. Anyone that's not good for me, I reject it. But this food, I must eat. It's called eating what is said before you without asking questions. When you start sitting down counting calories, you're asking too many questions. The Lord has left the room. When you are counting your calories, the Lord has moved to the next person's table to go and bless that individual. Don't be obsessed. No, this world has a lot of obsession. And I want you to deny those things. Refuse. Don't then turn your life to one crazy life. You know, a lot of people have become, you know, have you had, oh, I will go here. I will get to my message in a moment. Remember where we were? Okay, no, you've reminded me. Okay, now just remind me of where we are now. If I miss my way, how you remember? God help you. So let's just continue. Have you heard this one before? Please let me say it. That don't eat genetically modified foods. GMOs. If you eat it, you become an agent of the Antichrist. Have you seen that? Oh, you haven't heard it? There's one man, I won't mention his name. It's a bit related to Emmanuel, one way or the other, I think. Maybe they're from the same part of this universe. The man said, if you take COVID vaccine and eat GMO, he says the communion of Satan. That GMO is the bread, COVID vaccine is the wine. And then when you take the vaccine and you eat GMO, you enter into communion with the devil. You know, I looked at him, I felt like saying, sir, is this a joke? Except I wasn't joking. It was showing us biblical pattern. I tried my best to believe it was a joke. But he kept on saying it's not a joke. Is COVID vaccine, is even wine? Is it wine? It's an injectable. Do they inject the blood of Jesus into us? We eat the bread and drink the wine. So how did he now align them side by side? Let me tell you something, in case they've been confusing you. Don't listen to all of those things. Genetically modified foods are modified. All right? Okay, I don't know how many people here are old enough. I can see only two or three or four people. Elder John, you might be one of them. I'm just trying to push you inside, though. You're on the edge, Joe. You know, some people think that he's my elder. Because I call him, so I have to internationally denounce him now because. But how many people remember cassava of those days? I used to have cassava mosaic disease. You do? Elder John, see, I told you, he managed. You can see most of that people, you see, those who know, they know. Even Reverend Yinka does not know. Did you ever see cassava mosaic disease? You did? In Ibadan or in Elisha? In Ibadan. You see, my dad was an agriculturist, all right? So I saw all of those things happen. I watched them real time. I knew when he personally introduced the resistant variant to a part of what is now Ekiti State. In fact, there's a brand of what you call beans, cowpeas, introduced. The people in that locality named it after him. It was not his own, just that he would bring it from Ibadan, from a more plantation, from IITA, yes. Huh? However, it's IITA those days. It was another name before you were born, my guy. So, he used to bring all of those, you understand? And I watched them happen. Brethren, they were genetically modified. The yield of cassava went up fourfold. That is what you are eating till today. The cassava all over this country now is resistant to cassava mosaic virus. Cassava mosaic virus, we twist the leaves. See, when you harvest the cassava root, or the tuber, after months, it's hardly bigger than two of my, you know. But now, you see them, they are massive. Like yam. They're so big. That's because the virus does not affect the ones you know now. That's why I had to ask those who know about the ones that were susceptible to the cassava mosaic virus. That was years ago. The virus has almost, because some of these things, they will go extinct if they have nobody else to infect. They've almost gone extinct. Because somebody sat down and modified genetically the cassava one way or the other. Please let nobody turn you to. See, just relax your life and put it like that. One of our sisters told me the other day that the pastor in their church said that vaccines don't work and that it has never worked. I said, is he a doctor? How will he know? No, people will go, even though they are preachers, they go online to crazy, jobless European and American boys who are concocting up conspiracy theories, and you start spreading it. You want to know the truth? Vaccines do work. Now, they don't work all the time. They work very little on things like flu. They are of questionable efficacy. For HIV, zero. They've not been able to produce vaccines against HIV. For malaria, the malaria has infected the vaccine. They've tried all kinds of things. I did this fight with malaria vaccine, don't bother. Just let the person get malaria a few times. His body will have enough immunity to survive. Each time he has it, give him small. The malaria treatment now is so plenty and so inexpensive. And if you can't buy, you go to Dongoyaro and harvest some. you harvest some leaf and stem and cook it. The dosage is not correct, but at least the malaria will die. So, so vaccine doesn't work for malaria. That's the point. I mean, they've tried, hoping that they should have known. I could have told them that it wouldn't work. Because the vaccines could work, all right? Well, that's the smaller side. Let me not go there. That's medical issues, okay? They've tried all kinds of things. It doesn't work there. However, vaccines wiped out smallpox. You know the called smallpox? It wiped it out until it doesn't exist anymore. The only smallpox virus that exists on this earth today that we are aware of is kept in a vault in Switzerland. Under high security, lock and key. So why did they keep it there? It's still research. You know, yeah, it will still contain vital information. And no wonder you never can tell. You will find a way to use that virus to complex with something else and use a treatment. So that's why they kept it. Since the 70s, no, 80s, they've locked it there and declared it eradicated. And it has not woken up. Polio was almost totally wiped out by vaccines. There were only 3 countries in the world that still had polio at the time. That's in recent years, not long ago, just about maybe less than 10 years ago. There were only 3 countries in the world. You know what those countries were? Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Nigeria. Only 3 countries in the world still had polio. It was Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Nigeria. What was the reason? Islam. Because somebody spread the gist in the mosques. And of course, when they caught Osama bin Laden, one of the tricks that was used to get samples from people in the house was to get a doctor to go and pretend to be giving vaccines. So it took a small, tissue or blood from the children in the house to confirm that Osama bin Laden was there. So they became even heightened in their suspicion, which was, I think was very terrible on CIA's part, but they did it. So in some areas, in Afghanistan and Pakistan, they refused, and Nigeria part of it, portions of Nigeria, they didn't let their children be vaccinated. That's why the first one, it was made Emir of Kano, the current Emir now. You know, the time he stopped being Emir, then he came back as Emir. All right. That first time, he had to personally vaccinate children. Yes, just to, for photo effect. All right. So they took pictures of him personally dropping oral polio in the mouth of babies to let them know that as a Muslim, you can take oral polio because only 3 countries still had it. Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Nigeria. So they had to engage with the imams, with the Islamic clerics, to, okay, no problem, we will give it to you. Give to your people. Okay, let them develop by themselves. Because they knew that if you don't do that, exactly what's going on now will happen. Or is it, some people have now spread the gist that vaccines are fake. So a lot of people are refusing it. So polio has now made a resurgence, both in Europe and United States. Just for you to know, please, if you listen to me, all right, I read the scriptures. I believe in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He helps me to understand. And I'm one person that I know that have more understanding than my teachers because his testimonies are my meditation. Okay? Yet, I'm trained medically, and I've tried my best to balance the two. Most of those things they say, they are nothing but conspiracy theories and they are lies. They are not founded in scriptures. They're not founded in science. So tell me that vaccines don't work. It's a lie. Do they have side effects? Of course, it has side effects. It has. Two doctors the other day, one died, the other one was paralyzed totally for taking a normal vaccine. Yes. You may know about it. I'll back click here. The two yellow fever vaccine. So I'm not saying it doesn't have side effects, just like Panadol has side effects. People have taken simple antibiotics before and their bone marrow stopped working. Yes, now so life be. That's not why we won't take antibiotics now. Remember the days of chloramphenicol? Give somebody one shot like they want just for two tablets. That's it. His bone marrow doesn't work again for the rest of his life. He's now become blood transfusion dependent. Yet, that drug cured hundreds of thousands of people. But a few people. I mean, what are you saying? Groundnut has killed children. You don't know that? Some of them mistakenly swallow it the wrong way, blocks their pipe, the windpipe, and they die. Some, they are allergic to it. Do you now say, because of that, we won't chop groundnut again? Says genetically modified groundnuts. Yeah, some people, they have nut allergies. And it can be so severe. They have what they call anaphylactic shock and die. It happens. So that's why I say, I'm not trying to say that these vaccines are safe 100%. Polio vaccine has been known. In fact, that's one that happened about 2 days ago, 2 years ago in Nigeria here. The vaccine gave children polio. Yeah, because it's, well, let me not go into the details about it. But so once in a while, those things have happened. But that's not, you don't take it now. And so pay, that's one in a million. Do you get? That's one in a million. So I just said that because somebody will not go and show that one. See, I know all of those things. And well, since you don't know, all right? You are listening to me, right? I'm teaching the scriptures and have medical knowledge. Let me balance the two for you. GMO food is not going to kill you. Don't be afraid. Go to the shop. Eat what is sold. Don't worry your head. God will remove this. Just give the Lord thanks. Father God, I thank you for this supper. Do you know all this supper you have been eating? They are more dangerous. Do you know who cooks it? Do you know what they put inside to make it look red? When they put too much corn in it, do you get what I'm saying? And all you have done is grown fatter on it. And they don't eat genetically modified food. Your pie is seriously modified by what you don't know. I know what I'm telling you. I know what I'm telling you. I know what I'm telling you. So please, let's not worry about those things. One day a friend of mine, he said, can you believe it? My sister's children are malnourished. And you're wondering, the fellow I'm talking about is a doctor. And his sister is his elder sister. Listen to this, living in the United States. He said, Banky, I went to my sister's house in America. And her children are malnourished. I said, oh boy, how did it happen? She said, she only eats organic. Did you hear what I said? They only eat what? Organic. So, the shops, the Walmart, the Sam's Clubs, and all the places, big malls where they sell food around her, she doesn't buy food there. She will drive a great distance to the one that sells organic food, free-range chicken-laid eggs. That the eggs laid by free-range chicken. You know they call free-range chicken? Yeah, some of them are big and all of that. But even in the U.S., those eggs, therefore, are expensive. Which means the normal apple, they won't buy. They'll go to a farmer's market where they don't use pesticides or herbicides or fertilizer. So it is pure organic apple, pure organic banana, organic. At the end of the day, the people are malnourished. Know why? They are not getting enough of anything. So they not die from malnutrition because they are concerned about what is organic and not organic. Let me just tell you, stop giving yourself problems that God did not give you. When you get to the market, just buy your egg and go home. And say, they ripen the banana with ethylene gas. Don't worry. Ethylene gas does not kill people. Peel off the back and eat the inside. I am begging in the name of the Lord, don't eat the back of the banana. Give that one to the goat. And where's that pig farmer? Give it to this man to go and give his pigs, if he still has them. Do you follow my point? The gas went to the back and made it look yellow, Abby. Just peel the back, eat the inside. I'm telling you, the good Lord will keep him in perfect health despite it. As for the artificial and inorganic fertilizer that Dangote sold to them, that they used to grow it, you want to know the truth? They have been converted to organic chlorophyll, organic starch, organic what is proteins, oil. When you are eating it, it's called transmutation. The life of God in the plant has taken the... Look, the nutrients in the earth, they are inorganic. I hope you know, nitrogen is inorganic. All the salts in the earth, they are inorganic. Please let nobody confuse you. You only eat yam that they ferment, they fertilize with manure. From chicken poo. Nonsense. And I hate nonsense. God will give people food. They will use analysis to remove all the nutrients inside it. I had one guy when I was in school. I think that guy had a mental problem. If you're behind him in the book on the queue, you see him, and you want to buy food, say, take him for center. You can't give him food from the edges of the pot. It must come from the center. I don't know. I think all these spirits, the principalities. We used to call them out, take him for center. Seriously. A lot of people now are now taken for center. Enter shop. Analysis. Is it organically grown? Will you know the difference? A lot of people don't even know. If I tell you this, it will surprise you. What they call organic is by regulation. Half of the things are not organic. It's only if you cross a particular threshold. You're not getting my point. What they sell to you as organic, there's a regulation behind it, allowing them to put a lot of inorganic and call it organic once they don't cross a particular threshold. I don't want to talk about that now. I'm just telling you, relax your life. What did I say? Should you eat genetically modified food? Yes. You wouldn't know the difference anyway, so why bother? If you don't want to believe me, no problem. Go and eat the corn grown in the back of your house. See, a lot of corn you grow around, all right, they are nice and sweet. When you want to do industrial supply of corn, you can't use those things. Those people buy and they roast on the way. That's for roasting and eating. When men have to feed millions of cows, when they have to manufacture stuff, they can't use that. The yield is not enough. Be scary up and down. Please, we'll restart the message in a moment. I'm just advising you. Stop watching health things on YouTube. That one I want to advise you personally. Did you know? Just jump it. You've been to those things in YouTube, you see?
Yes,
they will tell you how to turn your face to a baby's face in 2 days. They will now do YouTube shorts. I'm sure it's also on TikTok, just I don't do TikTok at all. Tell you how to chop avocado, mix it with banana, put olive oil, and mix it with turmeric, thank you, and ginger, and then use it to plaster your nose. Let me just tell all of you don't know. Vitamin E, vitamin A, what is that? They are not absorbed from the skin, they are absorbed from the stomach. You're trying to... The stomach makes its own vitamin, called vitamin D, and it is the sun to do it. After you have eaten cholesterol, the thing they say you should not eat. What am I going to say? Just relax. What did I say? Let nobody teach you anything about food on YouTube. Don't watch them. Please leave professional things to professionals. Those guys are making things that collect click so they can have ad revenue. They are not there to tell you the truth. YouTube cannot even filter everything. Do you know how many videos are uploaded to YouTube every day? It's millions. No, and that's not exaggerating. This one we are doing now is going to YouTube. Pastors all over the world are doing their own. There's some people, they just sit down there. Now that AI means they don't have to narrate anything. YouTube had to say that, please, if it's AI voice, we will not monetize it. What am I going to say? Stop trying to plan your health. You are not medically trained. You are letting one charlatan from China teach you how to eat. One joker from South America that does not know anything about you. And then some of the things they say, they also copied from somewhere. Ask them the things that are found inside that grass, lemongrass. They say you should be eating lemongrass and you believe. Are you a goat? And you put lemongrass, put it inside, you now put it. And then you see, you do everything they suggest. Let me tell you how they describe people like you. Gullible. You're gullible. Everything suggested online, you try it. If you're enrolled in the clinical trial now, we say you are helping humanity. By the time everything you have done has failed, nobody will know it failed. I'm not even helping people. If you listen to me as your Bible teacher, I forbid you from today from obeying things written, put on YouTube or internet. Just obeying it recklessly. Those of you who are here, at least you know me enough, walk over to me and say, sir, I saw this. And by the time you ask me a stupid one in 1 month, I ban you from asking me questions. Ask me intelligent things. The only thing you should follow on the internet, on YouTube, is how to exercise, you know? Carry one leg up, down, up, down. Father, I don't have correct. But if you bring food or remedy you found on the internet, I say, Pastor, what do you think? That day I will tell you what I think. Let's leave it like that. The Lord is good. I hope I've advised some people.
Yes, sir.
And please, can I beg you? Herbs are not superior to medicine prepared by pharmaceutical companies. What did I say? Herbs are not superior to medicine prepared by pharmaceuticals. You know, there's this instinctive thing in people's minds. It says natural. Natural things kill. Go and eat natural bad mushroom. You go die there. The hallucination is even good. You go recover. Sometimes you don't recover. There are some mushrooms you eat. You'll be seeing vision for the rest of your life. Natural things kill. What did I say? There are frogs out there and toads guaranteed to kill you if their secretions touch your mouth. So, and it's natural. There are natural foods one woman, she's in jail now, killed her whole family. Went to the bush, collected mushroom, cooked for them. Well, not the whole family, like 4 people died. She's in prison now, in Germany. The cooking was natural. She claimed it was a mistake. They said, don't lie. Okay, you know the internet, they could trail all this research she had done. She went and harvested that particular breed of mushroom, used it to cook, and killed her husband's family, actually. So let nobody come and deceive you that if it is herb, it is good. This one is natural. As if the one pharmaceutical companies make is unnatural. Everything is natural. Let me tell you about pharmaceutical companies. They have extracted the good thing and removed the bad ones. But let's not even talk about drugs now. But please, stop following. I have to finish. Get back to my message. And I have to say this. If you buy anything being hawked on the road, that my thunder that I have retired, I had to call him back to service. Especially, let me not say anything. They will come from far. Those of us in Enugu, they deceive us by wearing danshiki. You know they call danshiki? And then wear cap to tell you that they are from the inner part of Oyo State. Instinctively, when you see them, you think that maybe they know what they are doing. A lot of those herbs, they harvested from Udi here. Don't let them lie to you. But I forbid you. Some of those things contain dangerous chemicals. Why should somebody who's not trained be selling you things to eat and drink? Not certified by anybody. You're just walking on the road. And I've seen people buy it though. They will now mix it for you now. Shake their head and swap. As it's supposed to cure mouth ailment, head ailment, before it starts working the stomach and the rest of the body. In the name of the Lord, I forbid you. Let's get back to our message. We're starting again. I don't know. How do you get into all of that? People just looking for health everywhere. Let me summarize. See, pray. Give thanks for food. Eat in moderation. Is that okay? Don't be afraid. Live your life normally. That's what I'm saying. Live it normally. There's no magical herb there that cures all diseases. It does not exist. You get what I'm saying? Eat good food. Eat fruits. Eat vegetables. All right? Don't eat too much. Yeah, you shouldn't overeat. You should be. The Bible says, let your moderation be known to all. You should be a moderate person. It's not everything you taste. So once you just do like that, and with Thanksgiving, live your life. And anybody advising you, just ignore them. And they say, alkaline water make you live long. It's a scam. What did I say? It's a scam. You see, they used to sell cups that would alkalinize your water. Let me just summarize it. It's a scam. What did I say?
It's a scam.
It's a scam. It's a scam. They sell you titanium pots to use to cook. It's a scam. Aluminium pots, good enough. Clay pot, fantastic. For some of you, try clay pot. And for some of you, it has flavor. Just live an easy life. And God will bless you. Amen?
Amen.
God will take care of you.
Amen.
God will heal all your diseases.
Amen.
The source of life is Christ. What did I say? Say this after me. Say, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is
available for me now.
I stay connected
by the power of the word
in the name of Jesus Christ. And as you are saying that, diseases are leaving your body in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Somebody will say that and get healed.
Amen.
And I'm not just saying it just while preaching. I'm telling you right now, because you made that statement that the life of God released by the resurrection of Jesus Christ is available to you now, and you are staying connected by the word, that will bring healing to your body in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Where were we? Baba? If I were. Yes, all those calorie counters. Yes. Amen. Let me not go back that. Let's just continue. Okay, we have to start again so that we can have our flow, okay? Proverbs chapter 4, attend to his word. Don't bother opening to it. I'll just quote it. Incline your ear to his saying. Let the word not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Because the word is life. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are what? They are spirit and they are life. What that means is that the letters, he said, the flesh profits nothing. God delivers his spirit by his word. When he made man at the beginning, the Bible says that not only man, when he made the plants, when he made the animals, and man also, the Bible says he blessed them. How did he bless them? Words. It says, be fruitful and multiply. It was not a word of advice. Plants don't hear advice. Animals don't listen to advice. It was a word of empowerment. Be fruitful. That impacted into them the ability to reproduce. He said, multiply. That imparted into them the spirit of multiplication, the strength to multiply. He said, fill the earth. Sometimes, you know, weeds, you keep pulling them out, they will grow again.
Yes.
Yeah. It's something that God released into them. He said, fill the earth. They keep on filling the earth because the word has gone forth. So when God wants to heal you, he says, be healed. He will say, live and not die. The way God conducts his surgeries is by speaking. A human being will take a knife. They will cut. They will take forceps. Pull this aside. Dissect this. Clamp this. Do that. God will just say, two more. Come out. That's it. Sometimes, why should you come out? Dissolve. Disappear. And the tumor will hear. If a trick will hear, how much more a tumor? Jesus looked at a tree casually. No one will eat from your fruit again. The roots say we are no longer necessary. The root shriveled underground, died. The leaves fell off. The stem began to shrink also. By the time they came, a few days later, they were alarmed. Lord, you just spoke casually to this tree. It's dead. So if God says to a tumor, die. The tumor would, in case you don't know, it's been programmed. It has codes inside it on how to kill itself. Yeah. All living cells have it. We call it programmed cell death. You activate something in it, the cell will just pack up, cut itself to pieces, dissolve. That's like when you have five fingers on your hand. When it was growing, he grew as a stub. After a while, the ones in between like this, they heard the word and they packed up. So it's not a strange thing for God to look at the tumor and say, die. And it looks at a part of the body, a pancreas, that they said is not working again. And it says, live. And then suddenly, you know, just like he said to Ezekiel, can these bones live? Till now, God is saying, people are saying, can these cells live? God will say, how do you cooperate with me to make them live? Prophesy. Son of man, prophesy. People listening to me, there are times you have to speak to a part of your body. Say, thus says the Lord. Now, you don't have to argue. Ah, you will leave. I tell you, you will leave. No. First line is what? Thus says the Lord. How many words are there? Thus says the Lord. Four words. Some of the most powerful words on this earth. That forward, is that phrase or clause? Those of you who know English, is that a phrase? Does it have a subject and an adjective? Do you, those of you who know English, and those four words, thus says the Lord. One of the most powerful statements you can ever make on this earth. I'm trying to think whether there's anything more powerful. I don't think so. For you to say, thus says the Lord. When you say, thus says the Lord, you are saying, I am activating, I am agreeing with that word. I'm activating it in my life. It has to be my experience. So you say to your body, thus says the Lord. And let me say something, you don't have to be specific, like, one is specific now, the cells on the left, move up. The one on the right, come down. The ones in between, grow. Blood vessels, I speak to you. All those are exercises just to keep yourself busy, you know, like you have to do something. You can't be there and not doing anything. In a simple word, just thus says the Lord, Himself took my infirmities and my diseases, and by His stripes I have been healed. The cells have the ability to interpret those scriptures. Well, maybe not in themselves, but there's a spirit. The Bible says that when the mouth of the Lord speaks, His spirit goes out to gather. I'm making my point. There's a reason why it says the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. The meaning of the word alive and active, let me explain it again. It means it has intelligence. It thinks, it makes decisions, and it executes them. Did you hear what I said? If the Lord says, you prosper, that word, you prosper, will go out and create open doors. The word will make you lucky. Yes. Maybe you go to a bank, they say they are doing bonanza. That if you keep 5,000 in your account for 2 weeks, do you get? You qualify for a draw. Have banks done that to you before? One bank did that to me and said that I should come to the bank for a draw. I do like you're not serious. I'll leave what I'm doing to come and join the draw. I said, if you want to give money, my friend. Stop making me leave the plan of God for my life. This is where I'm going. Do you know? Maybe they said leave 5,000 in your account. So one day you write somebody, you want to transfer money, and your balance is low. That word says prosper. It's about to transfer money to remove the network. So boy, 2 more days, we'll hit a month. If that transfer had gone through, okay, your balance would have dropped to 4,006. Say, no, leave it. I know what I'm doing. Then the day of their draw, you go to the bank to do something. Maybe your ATM card got missing. You won't know it's an angel that took the card. You say, I want you to go to the banking hall. So you look for the bank, you look for the card, you won't find it. It's the word that is working. And I say, go to the banking hall, go and ask them to give you another card. And you step in. And they say, please, sir, we can't attend to you now. We are doing a quick draw. So let me wait. Next thing, they say, the winning account number is, you hear your account number. And that's it. Someone just dashed you 2 million naira. You didn't go there. Do you get my point? When the word went out, the Bible says he makes his ministers spirits. And the angel, as they said again, the flames of fire. They just get out there. They go and do things. One of them took your card, making you go there. One of them blocked the network. They wanted to drop your balance. You're not a gambler. You're not somebody that's just that say, wait, let me give you free 1 millionaire. Let me just dash you two millionaire free of charge. Because the word said what? Prosper. Are you getting my point? When God wants to bless, He communicates His spirit by His word. When we use the word spirit, we mean His power. When we use the word spirit, we mean the efficacy of His glory. Do you get my point? Like His treatment, His drugs, they come through His word. So He said, my son, do what? Attend to those words. Attend to those words. And that's what we're talking about. He said, my son, attend. Pay attention. For those who are looking for health in jogging, I've told you, spend more time jogging the word of God. I don't mean that when I'm jogging, I'll be confessing scripture. You went to jog. The scriptural confession is what? A filler. But I mean, go and confess and use the jug to stay awake. That's a different matter. Do you understand? You can leave the house and say, I want to go and meditate on the word of God. If I stay here, I'll fall asleep. So let me go and walk up and down the street. That's a different thing. The word is the primary reason you went out. How many of us are doing that? We all wait for emergencies to get healed. But we're ready to exercise so that we don't fall sick. I want to exercise with the word of God so that we don't fall sick. Because that's where the power lies. I hope you're getting my point. He said, my son, attend, pay attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. What does it mean? Pay attention. Let me speak to you. Let the word soak into you. God is so emphatic about the word. He's so emphatic about what you hear. He's so emphatic. See, you know images, you know drawings and artwork. You know God is not much into it. Go and read your scriptures. He's not much into artwork. Your photograph is nice, so I'm not saying it's bad. What God is into, eh? See, let me just tell you. Sometimes you see a beautiful landscape, somebody takes a picture of it. There's nature. Nature is not bad. But before you hang it on the wall, you know what you do? Insert a scripture. Insert a scripture. God is more interested in that scripture than in that photograph. You see, there's a reason why he was deliberate about it. Postpone photography until Jesus had come and gone. Yeah, he knew what he was doing. Because if people could catch, Lord, wait here. Selfie. People will take selfie with Jesus Christ. Down their generation, they'll be printing it. If their wife wants to deliver, they go and hang the photo beside the bed. As the child is born, the first thing you put in front of it, see, this is Jesus. So he said, I don't want trouble. Postpone the development of photography until the Lord has come and gone. So for Israel, he made it a law. First commandment, don't have any other God before me. Second commandment, don't make an image. Don't. And the third one, if somebody has made an image, don't put my name on it. So don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Literal Hebrew says, don't take the name of the Lord for a vain thing. Don't see vanity, which is an image, and take the name of the Lord and place it upon vanity. God hates those things. So Moses said, did you see any form? They said, no. What did you hear? We heard words. That's why Moses said, these words I'm commanding you today shall be in your heart. All right? And then you shall imprint them in the hearts of your children by talking about it. Now, say one of the things you will do, you will write them on your doorposts. You write them everywhere. Write them on your gates. Write them on bands and tie them on your head. God loves words. That's where power is. Words. And that's why I said, somebody wants to do a beautiful picture for you, all right, of the landscape and all of that. Put a scripture there. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Good. You can put the beautiful waterfall and everything. Write it there. He has done all things well. Put it there. Thus says the Lord, let the earth bring forth. Put it there. So when you look at the picture, you see what? Words. The Spirit rides upon those words, all right, to bring power into your life. That's what we're discussing. So he said, my son, what do? Attend to those words. Let's look at some of the words. Now I want you to do something. You are going to attend. What did I say? Yeah, we are going to attend. You are going to attend to those words. So my son, attend to my... Let's look at one of them. The very popular one, of course, we know. Isaiah chapter 53. Your words were found, and I did eat them. Attend to my words. Isaiah 53. Now let's take a version. What do we use? Let's use NIV, please. There's a reason why. There's an emphasis I want our reading to have. And I think NIV has it. Yeah, it has it. Yes. Okay, are we there? All right, NIV from verse 3. One, two, let's go. It was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. It was despised
and we beheld him in low esteem. Surely, can we read from verse 5 with more confidence? But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Yes, that's it. I wanted to hear the word, we are healed. He said, my son, do what? Attend to these words. Now, take a moment and attend to these words. Just look at it. Look at it. Attend to these words. Meditate upon these words. We're talking about faith for total health. Attend to it. Contemplate it. He took my pain. Say that in verse 4. Just read it to yourself. Surely, he took up my pain and bore my suffering. Personalize it. Verse 5 says, he was pierced for my transgressions. He was crushed for my iniquities. The punishment that brought me peace was on him, and by his wounds I am healed. Attend to those words. Attend to those words. Attend to the words. Even if you are in pain, attend to the words. Sometimes our pain and our troubles can be distracting, not allowing us to attend. Somebody needs to pray for grace to attend. Say, Lord, I just want to attend to these words. And you say it again and again. By his wounds, I am healed. So that is life flowing into your body. That's it. That's what he said in that Proverbs chapter 4. Say they are life to those who find them, and health, literally medicine. In Jesus' name. Let me share this testimony again. The one that I heard from Derek Prince is the first person that pointed my attention to that Proverbs chapter 4. He had an incurable, at least by the doctor's estimation, skin disease. The one day he read his Bible. Actually, some people came to visit him. A particular woman, a missionary woman, heard about this young soldier, all right, who was having, who had gotten converted. So she brought some people, I can't remember the whole story, and it's been a while since I heard that part of it, to go and visit him. And they took him in a car and drove away from the barrack or the hospital or something and went somewhere to go and pray. And as they were praying, the car began to shake. Whether the people inside were the ones shaking, or a spirit was rocking the car, we don't know. But at the end of the day, that woman, a missionary woman, she prophesied that something about look to the work of the cross, completing his effect or something like that. No, I can't remember the exact words. It's been a while. You can check it out, the story. So they dropped him back off. He was still sick. They didn't come to pray for healing, really. But she gave a message in other tongues, and that was the interpretation. Maybe somebody there interpreted, or she interpreted herself. And they dropped the young soldier off. And that thing did not leave his mind. So what he did was that he began to study the scriptures, believing that the answer to everything is inside there. So let's see what the Bible has to say about healing. So he took a Bible and took a blue or a red pen? And decided to start reading everything that the Bible says about healing. He said by the time he finished, if the pen was a red pen, say, I had a red Bible. If it was a blue pen, I had a blue Bible. It's because he found the word for healing everywhere. So what did he now do? He got to that Proverbs chapter 4. He said, my son, attend to my words. He said, they are medicine to their flesh. All right? Or health. It's really health. Or medicine to all their flesh. And because he was a medical orderly, he knew some things about medicine. So he said, how do I take this medicine? Please, let me say something to you. Faith, the same word as faithfulness. Usually when you are believing, there is something you will obey. I don't want to ever forget that. Anytime you are believing, there is something you have to obey as a result of the faith you claim to have. Did you hear what I said? And oftentimes, it will be something unreasonable. I give an example. Now, let me say it again before I give the example. Faith usually commands obedience. There will be something that will be a sign of the reality of that faith. Do you get it? Okay, I'll give an example. When I was getting married, at the point in time, I was exhausted. I needed money. I didn't have money again. So one day, I wasn't praying. I was sharing the word with my wife today. All right? And 1 Timothy chapter 6, around verse 17, all right, rose up to me as I was reading it to her. And I knew God was speaking to me. And what was it I did to solve my financial problems? I took the little money I had and I went to give out of it. I went to church on Sunday, I gave to my pastor. A friend of mine was getting married, I gave to him. I gave to about 3 people. When that I was, gathering and gathering, I took from it. Now, let me just say this. I was not sowing a seed because some people now go and quote and say, Pastor Banky was led. I didn't sow anything. I was also obeying a scripture that says, if you are trusting God, it will manifest in your doing good and in your generosity and your readiness to share. That's what I just realized. I'm teaching now, right? I didn't even know that. I just said it was just a common sense thing. Now I know it was the Holy Spirit that was prompting me. Do you get my point? For somebody else, it might be that, hey, wait, I used to rush out of the house by 5 in the morning. Holy Spirit now moves it from 5 to 6 every morning. You are not rushing anywhere. Your phone must be off. And you must have scripture in front of you. You'll be pacing up and down and reading through the scriptures for 1 full hour. And that's what you have to obey. Do you get my point? Faith, usually when you are believing, there will be something that's, because the word faith and faithfulness means the same thing. Well, they are the same word, translated depending on the context. Usually will give you something to do. Now, the something to do doesn't have to be, it can be, you need to sleep. So maybe before, you are online at between, where's Baba? I didn't look at anybody. There's one man I know, in this kingdom world. If you send him a message at 2:30 a.m., you get instant reply. 2:30 a.m., he will reply you on the spot. He say, okay, sir, I'm on it. How can you be on it at 2:30 a.m.? Because he will not sleep. So sometimes, God will just say, hey, you. 2:30, you'll be asleep. Now, it's not a sin, normally. But at that point in time, put off your phone, close your eyes, and sleep. So you begin to sleep in obedience to a prompting of the Spirit. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
So, I don't want us to look at it all the time as if you go and sow a seed. It's not something you are taking glory from. That you not share it. Say, God did portion, I did a portion. No, the God this small, like this small, this small. No. But the action is just a sign that I have yielded. Let me go back to the recurrence story. What was his own sign of faith? He said, most people take their medicine with meals. He said, the word of God is medicine, right? So every time he ate, he finished the meal with the scripture. He always had his Bible beside him. He will finish reading, eating, you open the Bible, read through a few lines, confess a few lines of scripture to himself, and tell himself, now, I'm not saying he did this. He will now drink water as an example to swallow the word he has eaten. If he ate 3 times a day, he took the medicine 3 times a day. Do you know what? In 2 months, he was totally well. Then somebody saw him one day and said, I can see, because the thing was on his skin. Oh, I can see you are well now. What happened? And he told the person, nothing. He gave one nebulous, non-specific answer. He woke up next day, the disease was back. Now, maybe not literally next day, over the next few days, the disease was back. He went to pray. Lord, what happened? Then he recollected that experience. When somebody asked him, what happened? And he told the person, nothing happened. And I've got a lot to say, yes, indeed, as you have spoken in my hearing. That's it.
So he repented and took the medicine again. He started the same thing. He kept on taking the medicine. This time I didn't take 2 months. I don't know how long it took, maybe a few weeks, a week or two. And then he was totally well again. Then that tempter came again. I see you are well. Now what happened? And he answered, I took the word of the Lord as my medicine. Now you look foolish to those who don't believe. But God wanted him to give that testimony. He said, no, I took the scriptures. Every time I will eat, I will read the Bible. That's how God heals his children. He said, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. Exactly what I did, and that's how come I'm fine now. And guess what? This time around, the disease never returned. I hope you're getting my point. See, faith, see, as we attend to these scriptures, it will give you something to do. Different things. For some people, it can just be, now, please, don't mishear what I said, though. Don't mishear it. It can be from now, don't eat till 12 o'clock. Spend your time on the word of God. Don't go out. Now, you can interpret that as what? Fasting. Can I just drop? Okay, no, let me not go there. 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 Cause my thing, but that would be the instruction. So if somebody offers you food, and God wants you to do that. Now, I heard of one man, he started a diet. Well, he claimed, I don't know the details of his story, but even if what he said about the story was true, I felt the result was unfortunate. I heard he had cancer of the colon, and he prayed. And then he was taught by the Spirit what to eat. And he ate like that, and his cancer totally disappeared. Now, I don't know the details of the story, I don't know the man. Except that he now created a fad, a diet out of it, out of the way he ate. That you don't eat cooked food before this time, you eat this one after this time, and all of that. I say, wait, even if the Lord did that for him, I don't know his story. This thing he has created out of it now is called what? No, there's a word in the Bible. Eh? Yeah, you got it right. You got it. He has created Nehushtan. He has created Nehushtan out of it. It happened to Israel. Because that story we read in Numbers 21. When they had the serpent on the pole. And they kept on looking at it until they got healed. After they left there, you know what they did? They wrapped it, packaged it, put it in a special case. They said, where is it going? He said, oh boy, do you know how many people got healed? See, I personally counted. They were like 1,226. They looked at it. I have a roll call. Oh boy, this is a miracle stick, a miracle serpent on a miracle pole. Do you know how long they kept it for? Hey, let's, who knows? Elder John, do you know how long they kept it for? The period of the lifetime of, we are saying Samuel. Moses was the one that made it. Then Joshua, the reign of Joshua. Then the judges. Then Saul, the reign of Saul. The reign of David, Solomon, Rehoboam, I've lost count now because I don't know, until they got to Hezekiah. Oh, but that's not like 10 years old. That's not 20 years old. I'm sure some priests built houses on sick people. Good morning, sir. What happened? I have a tumor inside my stomach. I need to look at Nehushtan and say, what do you offer? I brought 2 goats and 3 cows. Very good. You have 1 hour. That was when Ezekiel got angry. You know, human beings, rackets must have formed around. Anytime they make somebody high priest, say, so his family come and say, you are now in charge of Nehushtan or more. We don't make. Ezekiel finally took it and destroyed it. I'm sure he had a revolt getting ready. The priest was like, what? What did you just do, your highness? Say, I destroyed an idol. No, it was made by Moses on the instruction of the Almighty. No, think about it. The priest would have had a debate on it. Say, sir, you can't destroy this thing. When that man started that diet fad, I said, this is Nehushtan. Did God really bless him like that? I don't know. It's very possible. God, no. When Ezekiel was going to get healed, for the sore in his foot. What happened? They said, make a cake of figs. Apply it to the ball. And the man got healed. If it's modern day, pharmaceutical company will go and take figs and try to extract everything. You know the truth? You won't get anything out of it. Nothing. People will not tell you that it had antimicrobial characteristics, and few people will understand this, and antimitotic properties. Antimitotic means it kills cancer. And they now took it to the lab and God said, it was a prophetic action. Do you follow what I'm saying? However, each time you are studying the word of God, it will give you a prophetic action. Sometimes the prophetic action is stop thinking about it. Yeah. There are those that their prophetic action is that stop making phone calls. Listen to this. You say to the person, stop keeping hospital appointments. Wake up every night between 12 and 1 a.m. and keep a divine appointment. Not because 12 and 1 a.m. is when God answers people, but because that's when you will have slept, refreshed a bit, and the whole family will be asleep. You will wake up and you will sit down. Sometimes we don't tell you, appoint a chair, put in a particular spot, sit down there and read the scriptures. 1 hour. After that, go and sleep. There are times to tell you that I don't want to hear anything about the sickness again. Start praying about your destiny, about the call. And that's the word he's giving you for healing. About the call for your life. Why I gave you life. What you are doing about it. You see, you wake up every night, 12 to 1 a.m., and you are thinking about what did God call me to do. Sometimes it could be ministry. Other times it could be business. Sometimes it could be a career somewhere. And God, the Holy Spirit, begins to enlighten until you forget that you are sick. The third week, you will get up and start doing something. You still be keeping your divine appointment. Then one day, someone looks at you and says, you're looking very fresh. That's what you don't know. You felt no pain the last 3 weeks, but you forgot. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
Let's just two more scriptures and we're out of here. My son, attend to my words. I've explained something to us today that faith will usually give you a word to obey. That word may not apply to everybody else. That's why I have to be careful of testimonies. People tell you that, the key is, what are you doing sleeping between 12 and 1 a.m.? There are those that God said the key to their own healing is you must be asleep between 10 and 5. Yeah. You must, he said, if you wake up, go back to sleep. What about, don't pray. Don't pray from 9 to 10. And then after 5 o'clock, between 10 and 7, be asleep. Even if the house is burning, sleep. Let them carry on a stretcher out of the burning house, boy. Yes. Then the person will get healed and say, the key is rest. He say, they have come again. Another Nehushta. Each person will have his own personal key. Something to obey. I feel so strongly about this. And there are people listening to me right now. At the end of today, God will give you your own personal key.
Amen.
See, let me tell you. Faith usually, there was something that woman said. She didn't come to Jesus Christ to be touched. Do you get my point? She didn't come to Jesus Christ to say, have mercy on me. The woman with the issue of blood. What did she say? If I will just touch the hem of his garment. So faith for her was get to where he is. Faith for her was come from the back. Nobody will notice. Faith for her was struggle between the crowd. Do you understand? And of course, she got there. Boom! She just touched the hem of his garment and let go. And instantly, power flowed into her. Like I say, okay? The surge was so much, Jesus felt it. Just felt something. Jump! You know, like electrical discharge. Just jumped out of him. He paused. I used to say this, but maybe it didn't happen like that. I said, I wanted to move. It felt a restriction, like, power just left. But I think it's more like he felt the discharge. Chum! Have you ever been, static? No static. Yeah, you want to touch a door. So you feel something. Just shocked. The Lord just felt something discharge. Boom! So he stopped. He said, somebody touched me. Peter said he has come again. Peter said, there we go again. Oh, Oga, somebody did not touch you. Everybody touched you. He said, you see the multitude thronging thee. You are now saying, somebody touched me. Jesus said, get away, my friend. I said, somebody touched me. And of course, the person who touched him knew that she touched him. Now look at her, what happened? Then she told him what happened. He said, beautiful. Your faith, not my prayer, your faith has made you whole. Obedience to that prompting of the Spirit. The woman didn't go to look for any other thing. Just a touch. See, the word of God is alive. When I say alive, it will speak to you from the book, tell you what to do. Somebody, listen to me. Somebody will pray, and the Lord will tell somebody. Now, I'm saying this is prophetic. There's somebody who's listening to me, and the Lord will tell you who to go and talk to. And what I feel about that talk is a talk of reconciliation. Yeah, and that's where healing will come from. The word is alive. It knows the cause of all kinds of problems. There's somebody who just tell you that you are praying. Next thing, you're reading the scriptures, the word will just lift up. You know, one of our sisters told me something the other day. There's this thing where, of course, many of us subscribe to, and I really recommend it, okay? When we do Pastor Banky in 10, our 10-minute podcast, okay? The good thing about it is that I just teach the word. There's no story. There's nothing. Just tap, tap, tap. No, tap, 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 tap. She told me the other day when she came to my house, just give a testimony. He said, sir, that when I finish listening to the word, to those words, it's as if somebody comes out of it and sits beside me and gives me instructions. He said, you can almost feel the person sit. I feel that somebody is here, will tap me and say, don't do this, do this. That was my first time of hearing that one. He said, it's a presence, I feel it. It's as if it comes out of those words. I told you God loves words. You know, how did Moses say? He said, did you see any form? They said, no. He said, what did you have? What happened? He said, we heard a voice. We heard words. God loves words. And that's, you have to be careful what you are listening to. Don't let people take away your faith with nonsense talk. Our sister told me that. She said, it's as if the fellow comes out. And I told you, the word is what? Alive and active. It's as if the word just come out, congeals into a person, sits beside me and start telling me, do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. That's why I'm saying to somebody, there's somebody who hear an instruction of who to go and talk to. Now, when I say talk to now, not listen to advice. Who to be reconciled to. Who to confess certain things to. Who to speak to. And once you do that, you get healed. Once I was telling me the other day about a man, you know, a preacher, serious issues in the life, in the home. And he had fallen really, really ill, you know, organ failure and stuff like that. Then when they called some people and spoke to them on the counsel of another man of God, said, do this, do this. When I heard some of the things that he did, I said, my God, if I were the one, do I have the energy for this? Gathered people and laid his life bare. And he began to recover. Because the word of the Lord said to him, this is what you will do. See, the word of God is alive. That's the point I'm making. See, we said it before, the word comes in different ways. I'm not talking about different components of the word. I mean, how the word comes. Of course, let's talk about the components of the word. There are promises, right? There are precepts, there are commandments, there are testimonies, and there are ordinances. That's different parts of the word. But how does it come? I said it comes as instructions. It comes as stories. When I say instructions now, thou shalt not. Do this one, don't do that. But there are times it comes as what? Stories. I also said it comes as songs and poetry. Is there any other one? Yeah, I think those are the three, right? We talk about instructions, stories, songs and poetry. And then prophecies. Yes. Those are the ones. So sometimes you hear, thus says the Lord. Those are the four ways, I think, if I remember well. Yeah, four. So the instruction can come, all right, as a direct, the commandment can come as a direct instruction. Or as you are hearing a story. Do you get? Please don't despise Bible stories. So. You hear what I said? No, don't despise Bible stories. Don't despise Bible stories. If you are reading your Bible, you get to David and Goliath. Read it again. You'll be amazed at what you did not see. You'll be amazed. And sometimes the Lord will open your eyes. From there, you will get your own instruction. Instruction of faith. You'll be amazed. So, don't, see, make Bible reading a habit. Make Christian literature reading. I don't mean meals and bones of scripture. I mean, like, you know, Christian romantic story. What I mean is that Ken Hagin writes a book like he gave gifts unto men. Read it. That's one I tell my children to read all the time. One of our books here, Living by Divine Wisdom and Habit of Faith. Please, I'm recommending those books. I'm sorry, they are not available online. There's a reason why. Well, a number of reasons. I can't discuss now, but all the sermons inside are on the website. Now, why I like Habit of Faith and Living by Divine Wisdom is because they're a compilation of short sermons. So you can just read one. Just read it. Just one. So the way you are smiling, it looks like you do that. You know? That's what I mean. Read Christian literature. How to Work for God. Read it. How to Recognize God's Voice by Graham Fitzpatrick. Read it. Is it Finding God's Will, Zach Punin? Read it. Different kinds of books out there. Oh, Adventures in God, John G. Lake. Please now, read it. Read the book. I like books like that. Small, small stories. As you hear stories, you hear the Word of God. As you read scriptures, the Word of God will arise to you and will give you specific instructions by which you will be healed. Yes, I use the word by which you will be healed. Many people, listen, pray from now to tomorrow. They can lay hands on you from now to tomorrow. Thus says the Lord, you will not get that healing until you obey that specific instruction. Let's read this scripture. We have to go. Exodus chapter 15. We are going to verse 26. Which version do we read this time around? Okay, let's use New American Standard then. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Are you ready to read?
Yes, sir.
Say amen like you believe it.
Yes, sir.
All right, good. One, two, let's go.
And
said, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. I will put none of the diseases on you, which I put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. That last line, read again. For I, the Lord, am your healer. One more time. For I, the Lord, am your healer. Remember, thus says the Lord. Let me summarize it like this. Thus says the Lord, I will put none of the diseases on you which I put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, I am your healer. Now, let me just give you a modern word. That word healer is a word for doctor. So, I, the Lord, I am your doctor. Now, focus on that word. You have 30 seconds. My son, attend to my words. Please attend to these words. Attend to these words. Say, I will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord my God. I will do what is right in his sight. I will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes and his precepts. He will put none of the diseases of the world on me because he is my doctor. His primary desire is that I be well totally from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. For at least 7 times, call him that name. That's the meaning of the name of the Lord. Say, the Lord is my doctor. The Lord is my physician. The Lord is my healer. Call him like that 7 times at least. You can use different words. I just use like 3 different words now. Or you can use the same one many times. The Lord is my healer. The Lord is my physician. The Lord is the surgeon of my life. The Lord heals me. He takes away all my diseases. The source of my life, the Lord is my healer. He said, attend to those words.
attend to the words. Let me read this and I will read one more out of here. Isaiah chapter 33. I'll read two verses there. Okay, let's open your Bibles to it, please. Isaiah 33. Let's read it together. We'll read one more after that and then we're done. Remember, my son, do what? Attend to my words. Attend to my words. Isaiah chapter 33. Ah, I said we're going to read Romans chapter 8. Aha. So we have three more to read. Let's be quick then. Now we're going to read two verses in Isaiah chapter 33. Let's read which version? Okay, let's use NASB because it's open for me here. Are you there? We're reading 22 and 24. There's no time to read 23 for certain reasons. 22 and 24. Are you there? Now, 1 to let's go. Now, read like you're with me. 1 to let's go. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. 24. And no resident will say, I am sick. The Lord, the people who dwell there will be forgiven their iniquity. Hallelujah. Let's read again. 22. The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. 24. And no resident will say, I am sick. The people who dwell there will be forgiven their iniquity. Hallelujah. Now, he's speaking about Zion here. He's speaking about the church of God. Amen? He's speaking about you. He's speaking about me. So take a moment and attend to those words. Take a moment and attend to the words. Say, the Lord is my judge. The same thing it was saying through Moses. The Lord is my lawgiver. He is my king. He will save me. You know, we said earlier, I will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord my God and do what is right in his sight. It's the same thing he's saying here. He said, the Lord is my judge. Personalize it. The Lord is my lawgiver. The Lord is my king. He will save me. Say, no resident in Zion will say, I am sick. I will not say, I am sick. I will not be sick. Because the Lord is my healer. Because the Lord is my healer. Attend to those words. Because the Lord is my healer. Therefore, I am not sick. It will not happen that I will say, I am sick. Why? The Lord is my healer. In Jesus' name. Now let's attend to two more scriptures and then we're out of here. Acts chapter 10. Now remember, what's the last line we read just here? We read here just now. The people who dwell therein. Say it again. Open there now. Open there. Open there. Quickly. Exactly. The people who dwell there will be forgiven their iniquity. All right. There's a reason why I wanted to emphasize that. Go to the book of Acts chapter 10. The house of Cornelius. Yes. Peter was speaking here. From verse 38, we are going to read. Everybody, let's read together again. We've been doing that. Verse 38. Quickly. 1 to let's go. Now read like you are blessed. 1 to let's go. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. No, just 38. For God was with him. Amen? He went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Now, I want you to notice something. What's the last thing we read just now? Those who dwell therein, what? Forgiving their iniquity. In case you do not know, that statement is the only reason I'm telling you this scripture. That statement is the only reason why they call their sickness oppression by the devil. If you have not been forgiven, your sickness is not oppression. It's just affliction. Do you get my point? It is not oppression. The affliction is just until you have been forgiven of your sins. Time will not allow me to explain it. You see, what happened here was that the people went to John and they were baptized. John came with the baptism of repentance for what?
The forgiveness of sins. He was preaching that baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So those who he baptized, who were sick, they were said to be what? Oppressed. Why? They had been forgiven. They were dwelling therein and they were not supposed to say, I am sick. So their sickness was oppression. So that's why he will go through 12, how many porches? Pool of Siloam. How many porches were full of sick people in the pool of Siloam? So there are how many porches?
Five.
Full of the sick. And one man who had been sick for 38 years, right? He jumped everybody else, went to only him, and persuaded him. The man didn't ask him to be healed. He told the man, do you want to get well? The man interpreted like, you want to get well, you are not serious. He said, it's not like that, sir. I have nobody to help me. He said, don't worry about it. Take up your bed, your pallet, and go. And the man got up, you know the rest of the story, and he was healed. Now, we have preached all kinds of theories about faith. You stretch your faith, you do, no. You know, he didn't even know who was talking. So how can you stretch your faith when you don't know who Jesus is? They asked him later, why are you carrying your bed? It was a Sabbath day. He said, the man who told me to get up said I should carry it. Let's put it like this. He was somebody to obey. Have you ever asked yourself, somebody he doesn't know, why did he get up? I'll tell you. Because the spirit of faith entered into him and set him on his feet. So why did Jesus go about all of that and picked only one person? You want to hear what I know? What I believe? I believe that was one person who struggled to John. They said John was preaching repentance. Come for baptism. Everybody said, look, I beg, I'm sick first. They stayed there. He begged somebody, please help me. I need to get to John. He got to John. John baptized him and he came back to wait for healing. And the Holy Spirit told the Lord Jesus Christ, yeah, good, go to that pool. Seek that man out. Why? He's oppressed. The other people were justly afflicted. The people who dwell therein will be forgiven of their iniquity. If you have been forgiven, say amen.
Amen.
So if you are sick, you are oppressed. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Now say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I reject the oppression of the devil.
I reject the oppression of the devil.
Because I have been forgiven. Say it again, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I reject the oppression of the devil.
I reject the oppression of the devil.
Because I have been forgiven.
Therefore, I say,
sickness,
be gone.
Now take a moment. Put any word you like to that place where I put sickness. Take a moment. Say everything else. I've been forgiven. This is oppression. So I say, be gone. So I say, be gone. God anointed the Lord Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Say in the name of Jesus, be gone. You are speaking to a sickness. Let's look at this last scripture and we're out of here. One of my favorites in the Bible. Woo! I love this one so much. Romans chapter 8. Ooh, I love it. Oh, that's the one I said she reminded me of, Baba. Uh-huh. Hey, I love this. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, where do we read from now? Okay, let's start from 10. And we'll read 10 and 11. Yes. 10 and 11. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Now, please, if you have not read today, this one you will read. If I rise to your feet, what are you doing sitting down? May I have been standing all by myself for the last how many hours? Rise to your feet. Now, one, two, let's go. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Through his spirit who indwells you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're going to read that again. We're going to look at that scripture. We're going to attend to it. But let me just explain some things. When I say, if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is literally life because of righteousness. That's literal. The spirit is life because of righteousness. What it means is that even though the body is dying or subject to death because of sin, life comes from the spirit. It doesn't mean that the spirit is alive. No. It means life comes from the spirit because of righteousness. And that's proven in the next verse. It says, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who indwells you. So you can see, where does that life come from? His spirit. Where does it come from? His spirit. So that's why he said, the spirit is life because of righteousness. You are getting my point. Like we said at the beginning, people think this is talking about resurrection body. No. The resurrection body is immortal. He says we are giving life to the mortal body. So that's the body that you have now. So everybody, attend to these scriptures. Attend to it. He said, attend to my word. Say, Christ is in me. Even though this body is subject to death, is mortal. That's because of sin. But now, I have righteousness in Christ Jesus. Therefore, the Spirit gives life because of that righteousness to my body. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, and that's a matter of fact, that's not a question. So you can say, because the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to my mortal body through his Spirit who indwells me. So life is working in me. Now you need to start saying that. The life, the resurrection life of Jesus is working in me. The resurrection life of Jesus is working in me. The resurrection life of Jesus is working in me. Now you need to say that. I want you to say it. Count it on your fingers at least 10 times. The resurrection life of Jesus is working in me. Life is being given to my mortal body. Life is given to my skin. Life is given to my brain. Life is given to my bones. Life is given to my eyes. Life is given to my nose, to my tongue. Life is given to my bone marrow. Life is given to my internal organs, every one of them. Life is being given in my feet. Say, life is working in me. You need to say that. Life is working in me. Life is working. Life is working. Life is working. Life is working. Attend to these words. Now give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we give you praise. I want to say, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Give thanks. Give the Lord thanks. Take a moment. Derek Prince will say, if you really believe, you will give thanks. That the first sign of faith is gratitude, is thanksgiving. Say, Lord, I thank you. Give the Lord thanks if you really believe. Give the Lord thanks because life is working. Because life is working. Because life is working.